Good morning. I hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins, as every Sunday, here with you again. And we're going to take a walk in the parks today. I we're taping this, so I don't know what the weather's like on Sunday. It's supposed to be good, but we're going to like prance through the metro parks with Becky Benet, who's the executive director of Five Rivers Metro Parks in Montgomery County. How you doing?
Great. Good morning.
Well, we will get around to the actual, you know, flowers and trees and fauna and all that stuff, but we're here because Metro Parks is engaged in, you guys are just starting a grand master plan for parks use, metro parks, and you're pulling in community engagement and everything. And
yes.
Tell us about the plan. Why?
Right.
What do you want? What do you want from this big master plan?
Great. Well, first of all, we're very excited about this plan because it is the first for our organization in terms of really engaging our community about their interests and needs and wants in terms of our metro park system.
We That's are so, kind of surprising, though, because it's a 50-year-old system, right?
I know. Isn't that great?
That's
We've always had input, and we appreciate everybody taking the time to give us input over the years and direction. This plan is really a comprehensive look at everything we do, our services, our facilities, our parks, our programs, how we operate as an organization, and provide services to our community.
So what's the time frame? Has it actually begun yet, or what phase, what stage are you at in the doing it?
Well, this comprehensive 10-year plan did start in January.
Oh, fine. I'm behind already. That's great.
Well, we're in the midst of some heavy community input process.
Well, that's how I learned about it, because you guys just sent out a news release last week that there's community meetings coming up this week.
Yep.
Okay. On Tuesday and Wednesday evening?
Yes.
At 6 o'clock?
Yes. At 6:30. And the 21st and the 22nd.
Okay.
And the first one on the 21st is at Cox Arboretum from 6:30 to 8.
Okay.
And the second one is at the Metro Parks headquarters, which is on Monument Avenue, right across from Fifth Third Field.
Right, exactly.
From 6:30 to 8.
So what sort of things who do you think will show up, and what do you want to know from them?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have been in the midst of doing community leader interviews. Mm-hmm. We've conducted about 16 community focus groups with various people throughout the region.
Mm-hmm.
This is another opportunity for people just to come in and provide the general public to provide their input. We also have a website that people can access on metroparks.org.
Okay.
And there's a survey on that website that the general public can complete also. And we also will be conducting a statistically valid random survey in the community to really get in depth on some questions that we really like to understand how our residents and the people of Montgomery County view us.
So what sort of things are you trying to find out?
Well, first of all, we're trying to find out how people perceive us. Mm-hmm. And really, to be honest, do they really know about us? What we hear a lot of times is people know about a certain park that they may go to. It's one of their regular parks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what we hear is they didn't know that this park existed or this facility or service was provided by Metro Parks. And we are a regional entity serving the residents of Montgomery County.
Now, that surprises me, though, because, I mean, maybe it's because at the newspaper we cover the Metro Parks and we're fairly engaged and involved in what you guys do. But that surprises me, though, because, I mean, you all advertise, apart from anything we do, You advertise pretty heavily, and there's signage everywhere.
I know.
So I'm surprised that there's, would you say, a high level of unawareness, or just more, not as much as you want?
Well, that's the point of all this community engagement, is to find out how much people really do know about us. Just being out in the parks, we're calling them intercept surveys, where we're in various locations throughout the community intercepting people to ask them about what they know about Metro Parks, their favorite park, what they'd like to see Metro Parks focus on in the next 10 years. So really, we're in the point of just trying to really collect information to understand how the community perceives us and understands us and doesn't understand us. And we're also interested in those who may not use our parks at all, and what prohibits them from doing so, whether it's they don't know about us, whether it's access. We don't know, and that's the kind of information we're trying to collect.
Some people just hate trees.
Well, I hope
you're not going to get them. You're just not going to get them. Not me. I like them a lot.
That's good to know.
Actually, I don't get out into the parks enough because my son used to be in Scouts. I mean, and he's aged out long since. And he and I were talking recently about how we miss being in the woods once a month.
Yes.
Sometimes we would camp in the metro parks, but often state parks and just or out of the stadium. And I've realized recently that I just really miss being out in nature. not your yard, not outdoors. Right. There's outdoors and then there's nature.
Exactly.
You know? I miss being in nature on a regular basis with the scout troop, and I need to kind of force myself back into it. I will ask you, do you have a favorite park?
Oh, now that's a loaded question.
I know it is. Well, of course.
I love all of our parks.
I love all my children. That's right.
That's right. I am an avid hiker, though, and I think actually that is one of the ways to get people out. First of all, there's access, and also once you get out there, like you mentioned, there are parks here in the area of our Metro Park system where you literally can get out there, feel safe, and feel like you are totally in nature.
I would say Germantown and Twin Creek.
Twin Creek, definitely. Yeah, and I've been out there myself, and just I'm hiking along, and all of a sudden I realize all I hear is nature.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Now, the bear is gone, right?
The bear, as far as we know, is gone.
Probably has moved on. Okay.
The bear doesn't want to be around us anyway, but it's a great opportunity.
We wrote about the bear a little bit. But it's kind of, I mean, there's a lot of bears in Ohio, but this one was one that was probably a young male black bear.
That's what the staff thought.
In Germantown Twin Creek there for a while. Yeah. That was about 2 years ago. He was here for about 3 years. Yeah.
That's right.
Did you guys ever name him?
The staff never named the bear.
Aww.
To my knowledge, they did not name the bear. Just the black bear.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, the bear. Well, when there's only one, maybe you don't need the
bear. Yeah, maybe so.
Well, now, and back to the survey in a minute, but okay, and you won't tell me your favorite park, but our...
I love them all.
Okay. Well, One of the stories that kind of is part with the bear is kind of about the return of wildlife into the parks in a very big way. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, we are at about just under 16,000 acres in our Metro Park system at this point, and it's really been strategic in terms of where we have over the years, and way before me, well before me, looking at green space and habitats and natural areas that are important to preserve. And so with that effort through conservation, we've merely been able to identify large pieces of land where habitats can exist. And I think that's what we're seeing now are the results of those efforts from many years ago, taking those initiatives to protect those spaces. And I think, you know, we're talking a lot and you hear it a lot. I just came from a meeting earlier today where people from around our area are talking about how do you get kids outside?
Right.
Not just kids, but adults. You mentioned it.
Right.
With technology and that draws you in and can keep you in front of a screen for hours, what it is doing to the health of us as adults as well as kids. And how do we get people to get outside you know, and feel comfortable about that? And that is actually part of the conversation we hope to have and with all these public opportunities to hear from them in terms of what would help them get outside. What makes them stop from going outside? And I'm hoping we'll find ways to be able to encourage people to really feel comfortable about being out in nature.
Well, and there are long-term implications to that, too. I would think more than just the immediate needs of the Metro Parks and your programs. I was talking with Charity Kruger from Allwood a couple of weeks ago, and a remarkable lady. And Allwood's not a Metro Park, but you guys partner on a lot of
stuff. Very much a partner, yes.
And she, her point was like, well, you know, conservation... The conservation that we have today, and you kind of just made this point, the conservation we have today is, even in the 21st century, is a direct outgrowth of the early 20th century stuff that like John Muir and Teddy Roosevelt created. And so if you are raising a generation or two of people that, not because they're bad people or anything, but they just don't care about nature because they're not familiar with it, what kind of conservationists are they going to become?
Why should they value it?
Why should
it?
They care?
They don't understand it.
And she was really concerned about that. Is that something that you
absolutely think is a... We have a program called Conservation Kids, and the intent of this is really to get kids with fun, engaged in nature.
Right.
I mean, whether it's amazing to watch, and I always say, you know, this is why I like to get out and watch some of the activities and programs that kids participate in, not just kids, but adults, where they put a worm in their hand, or they, you know, touch a fish, or they climb a tree, or, I mean, the expressions on their faces are just priceless. But it's getting them outdoors and getting them familiar, not just the kids, but the parents, on feeling like if they can get out there and participate and see the wonders, that they become eventual advocates of preserving our natural areas.
And those are the people that, and it takes money and it takes will and it takes government effort and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's more than just like, oh, yeah, I really like the parks. I mean, it's like, yeah, you pay for that.
Exactly.
You know, you have to invest in it, along with other stuff. Mm-hmm. A true confession, I'm an earthworm geek, actually. When I walk down wet sidewalks, I throw them back into the grass.
That's right.
I feel kind of bad about it. There's too many of them sometimes, you know. But when I found out recently how long, I used to feel kind of stupid about it, but then, well, not stupid, but like, oh, really? Earthworms. And then I found out how long they live. And then I felt like really good about it. Earthworms live a long time.
See, how long do they
like
live?
Like 7 or 8 years.
I did not know that.
I did not
as
know.
As long as they can survive the humans.
Well, yeah.
And the birds.
Well, the birds. And the sidewalks. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So, what sort of stuff are you hearing from people so far in the surveys that you're doing?
Well, as I said, we're in the initial stages, mm-hmm. but again, some of it is they're aware of some of the things we do, mm-hmm. But they're not aware of everything we do.
Right.
And I think they're very supportive. We're hoping to hear positive, but we also want to hear mm-hmm. suggestions, mm-hmm. how they think we can improve the services that we provide. I think it's another opportunity for us, too, to provide some education about who we really are and mm-hmm. our mission. Mm-hmm. And we really are a conservation organization. We are here and established
sure.
to really protect our natural heritage. But in order to do that, as we've been talking, it's to get people connected to nature so right. they're inspired and they want to protect it and they want to be in it. But mm-hmm. providing those outdoor experiences mm-hmm. through education and recreation that get them into the mm-hmm. the metro parks, but then to start to understand the value of what's there so that they are, as adults, will hopefully protect what we have been able to preserve for so far in the right. last 50 years.
Right, become little John Muirs of their own.
Absolutely.
So, maybe there's a, let me pay a reverse backhanded compliment, is partly the idea that they don't know enough about your programs the fact that there are so darn many of them? I mean, I know that I have a pretty, what I consider to be a pretty good knowledge of the Metro Park mm-hmm. system, as I said. But you guys have so many
we
programs.
Do.
I wouldn't even know. I would not say to myself that I know everything that's going on in the Metro Parks on a given weekend because there's so darn much.
Absolutely.
Of it. So is that kind of like, are you being victimized by your own success?
I think.
There's really no way for one person to keep track of it.
I use parkways all the time to
oh,
track.
Oh, yeah. No, I do too.
Yes,
yeah,
to track what we have. That's one of the things we're evaluating
yeah.
is really trying to make sure that we are offering things to people, first of all, that they know about it mm-hmm. and it's truly what they want and that it matches our mission of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a lot of partners that we work with, and we couldn't do this without our partners or our volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
This Saturday, we have the Adopt-A-Park program that's coming up.
Oh,
and,
talk about that.
That is, I think we have...
No, we're just, taping. Is that this Saturday or is
oh,
that
you're
next
correct.
Saturday? Okay. You just had the Adopt-A-Park program.
Yesterday, we just yeah. had the Adopt-A-Park program.
How does that work? Yeah.
We have, through our volunteer services staff, mm-hmm. we have just under 2,000 people who have signed up to participate. I think it's 49 sites that
wow.
we participated in cleaning up those sites mm-hmm. and really protecting the green spaces again, whether it's the mm-hmm. river corridor, mm-hmm. and they're not all of our sites. It's mm-hmm. really a regional effort
right.
for our river corridors and our park systems at our different locations to help either plant trees, pick up litter,
mm-hmm.
a variety of things to help make sure that we preserve our natural areas.
Mm-hmm. That's
so,
cool.
Yes, we're very pleased with the efforts from that particular program.
That's a lot of volunteers, yeah.
And they're all ages. It's
right.
wonderful.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
Let's tell people what they're listening to. If you are just tuning in, welcome. It's Sunday morning, and this is Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host, Ron Rollins, and we are in the studio with Becky Benet, who is the executive director of Five Rivers Metro Parks, one of our favorite things in the Miami Valley. Talk a little bit about, a lot of what you do is conservation of existing parkland, but how much are you in the acquisition business now? How much are you actively adding acreage to
right.
the system? It's already pretty big. You said 16,000 acres,
just
right?
Just under 16,000.
Which is a lot,
yes.
And that's all within Montgomery County.
For the most part,
yeah.
or adjacent to.
Yeah, so are you actively adding to that, and if so, how does that happen?
Right, well, again, over the last 50 years, that land has been
sure.
acquired, and we're trying to be very strategic about that,
mm-hmm.
because obviously, we want to make sure we have capacity
mm-hmm.
to take care of what we have. That's, for me, always a concern,
mm-hmm.
and for our staff's concern. So part of the master plan process is, again, to look at land use
mm-hmm.
and really identify, are there specific areas that we should be looking at that makes sense from a habitat, protecting habitat,
mm-hmm.
How does it enhance the current park system?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not just going out there and and buying land. And in some cases, as Dave Nolan, our director of conservation, would tell you, who has been very involved in land acquisition, it can take many, many years to acquire a piece of land.
Right.
Most recently, we acquired the property which was once known as the Larch Tree Golf Course.
Right, which is out by the mitigation, the wetland mitigation. I wanted to ask you about that.
Wetland Mitigation Bank and near Sycamore State Park and our bike trail that's out there too. Very strategic location.
And the golf course was near Troutwood. It went out of business.
Yes, and it had been sitting vacant.
Right.
And thankfully, through Clean Ohio grant money that we get from the state, we were able to acquire that property. And that will be a conservation area. It could eventually be a metro park, but that depends, again, on funding. But it's another strategic opportunity that we thought would add to the parkland system that made sense. So we're being very strategic about land. We have finite resources like everyone else, not just to get it, but to take care of it.
Well, but the land itself is the same thing, is a finite resource. So you're kind of looking at it, maybe even trying to guess 50 or 100 years down the road.
Exactly. It's for the future.
Yeah. So, and I guess, I presume the prevailing philosophy is like, if we don't get it now, it might just go away.
In some cases, that happens.
Yeah.
Medler Conservation Area, which was acquired several years ago and now has a bikeway in that area, is eventually a very surrounded by housing development, if you've been out that way. I believe if that hadn't been purchased, probably that development would have extended into the metro park.
And there's some land recently, one of the more recent acquisitions is down near Austin Landing, right?
That's the land I'm talking
about. Yeah, what's that called?
That's called the Medler Conservation Area.
Medler, okay.
Yes.
Named after the family that farmed it?
Well, there is a road there. The Rice family owned part of that property. And but that is a beautiful property that has, it's and we've been able to, through a partnership with the Miami Township, and the city of Miamisburg and the county put a 2.25-mile bikeway, paved-mile bikeway, that connects to the Great Miami River bikeway.
I didn't realize it was that big a piece of property.
It is.
That's interesting.
And that bikeway is going to connect to over to the Austin Landing area. There's one more piece to put in. Mm-hmm. That's not on our property. It's on the city of Miamisburg's and their school district property that'll connect the bikeway over to the Austin Landing and on to the bikeway system that's just east of Austin Landing.
Well, that's pretty cool. Dave mentioned that to me about a year ago, and I was not familiar with that at all. I mean, everybody knows Austin Landing, big stores, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, but then, he said, oh, no, we have a metro park down there. Most people, he said, even people in the neighborhood don't know about it.
And I'm like, and they're finding out, believe me, because I go by there quite often. And I'm a user of that particular area.
Right.
And the cyclists really love that particular trail because there's some really good hills
That's
that they're riding.
That's neat. Let's talk, we mentioned, we drove very quickly past the Wetland Mitigation Bank that's out near, it's actually not in Troutwood, it's in the township next to Troutwood, right next to Larch Tree Golf Course.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit. I've had it in the paper, Mike Enright, your conservation biologist, talked about it in the Daily News with me last fall. And it's a fascinating idea. What is a wetland mitigation bank?
Well, what it does, and of course Mike is our expert in this area, so I'll do my best.
You'll do fine, I'm sure.
Is it provides developers who are developing a site that may have a wetland, allows them to buy credits, and we have a wetland that they can get credit for that serves the purpose of replacing technically the wetlands that they they're taking away.
So it's a one for one in a different location.
Exactly.
And it's a federal program that kind of allows this to happen, right?
And Mike works with the EPA on this to make sure that we are following the rules and regulations how the people do get credits and they buy them, which allows us then to potentially expand that area. We still have additional land out there that we could in the future potentially add some wetlands, so it benefits the habitat that's in that area. We've planted thousands of trees.
That's what he showed me. That he gave me a little driving tour around there. So it's like 350 acres out there, right? It's like old farmland. It's not a wetland
tiled
in the sense that it has a creek through it, but it's just the way that the land lays. as long as it's not being plowed and farmed, it will return to wetland state.
Yes.
That's really
And even neat. Now, I mean, if you go out there, there's a little walking trail around the wetland area. There's plenty of birds. I mean, the bird watchers love this area.
Well, when he took me out there, I guess it's only a few years old, right?
But yes, it is.
It already had like a pond that was out there and cattails that were shooting
it's
up and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So it's like for people's... If people are curious, where is it? It's not like by Snyder Mile, Diamond Mill Road out that way.
I think if you look to where the Larch Tree Golf Course used to be located, and we're very close to the Sycamore State Park area.
Right.
And it's on our website, so if people want to get directions, they can put that
This
in.
Was the land that was originally thought of for the landfill.
Yes.
And the neighbors were like, nah.
Correct.
Okay.
And our neighbors have been great out there.
Well, yeah, because you're not a landfill.
That's right.
I bet they're pretty happy to see
happy.
You. Yeah. So just so people get this, how this works. So, like, I'm a developer in, I don't know, Moraine or something, and I want to put a parking lot in for my new business, but I'm going to basically have to plow over or pave over 2 acres of wetland to do it. So the EPA says, well, you can't, wetland's protected. So what you can do is, in order for you to develop there, you can buy credits that will allow the Metro Parks to recreate wetland in another part of the county.
Yes.
So that there's acres added for acres that are taken away in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
I was fascinated when I heard that. I had no idea.
I'm not sure who came up with the idea, but I think it's a very creative idea.
Yeah.
And
some
allows us to create some very high quality wetlands also.
Yeah, which is cool. That's neat. So let's talk a little bit more about the survey. If in the absence of a survey, what would you have thought as the boss were the challenges that you were facing without all this extra input that in the coming years?
Yeah. Well, the one thing I truly believe is, and to be honest, this is why I came back to the area, is the community highly values our Metro Park system, which is great. But as everyone else have experienced, we have financial limitations also. And so we want to make sure with the tax dollars that we receive from the community, as well as other opportunities to, we formed a new foundation, which we hope will provide some
added,
and there's now an opportunity for, we get contacted all the time that someone would like to donate funds, but we didn't have the tool to be able to accept those donations. The way we can now, and it's really
looking at... So it's the Metro Parks Foundation is what it's called?
Five Rivers Metro Parks Foundation.
I did not know that.
Just started.
Does it work with the Dayton Foundation or another existing, or is it a separate
freestanding? It's an existing foundation.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and there's we're rolling it out to really more publicly in our next Parkways that will come out in the next month or so.
Okay, and that's the monthly publication, kind of the slick that people
Yeah, every several months we put those out.
So, So your funding comes, there's the levy, the countywide levy.
Yes, primarily from the tax levy, the 10-year levy that we have.
There's the private funding that you go out, and there's also Clean Ohio money that comes in for particular projects. Is there other funding as well?
Yeah, primarily we're funded by tax levy money.
Sure.
We also have some funding that comes from the state, but that too has been limited in the past several years. We do have some fees and charges that we try to be very strategic about that when it's more for people who are having a benefit to themselves or a small group versus the general public.
Right.
We also have permitting fees. We have we're rolling out our foundation for the Metro Park system. We have our two foundations, one located at Cox and the Wegerson foundations. Both have been in existence for years, and they do fantastic work in supporting those sites, as well as the Friends of Carriage Hill, who provide support not only financially but through volunteers also. But the Metro Parks Foundation will allow the general public or organizations to donate for any park in our Metro Park system. So we're hoping to diversify our revenue streams a little bit to try to offset some of the losses that we've experienced in the last several years in revenues.
That's cool.
From the tax levy, yep.
So I'm going to ask you again what your favorite Metro Park is.
You're going to just...
Come on. Come on, fess up. Where do you find yourself most often? If you're like, I got an hour to hike, I'm going to go...
Well, that's, obviously it's going to be closer to where I live.
I don't know where that is.
I live south at this time.
Okay.
I truly like getting out by myself. Yeah. To be honest, I really like getting out there. And so I'll go out, of course, to Germantown and the Twin Creek area because...
Yeah. I think that's my favorite, yeah.
It's just, I can get out there and really just be absorbed in nature.
You can really get... You can't get lost, but you still know you're in a suburbanized county, but you can really get where you're immersed. Like not hearing truck noises on the highway.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah. It's favorite stretch is along the dam there on Germantown, which is really cool because you're just like, wow, I'm on the dam. That's what I need. And then there's the part where you like on the north part, north of the Nature Center, in Germantown, where you loop down along the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And even late in the summer, you can see the flood mud up on those really giant sycamores there.
Absolutely.
It's really cool. And you can see how high the water gets,
That's
you know,
right.
probably this time of year, I imagine.
That's right.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful park.
I have... we have a group that's called, well, you may be familiar, the Dayton Hiking Club.
I heard you remember that club.
Oh, yeah, and so, be honest, you know, I love to hike, but I decided that I would join this group to do the 19 Challenge Park Series to hike every trail in each of our parks. And it's gotten me out to places where I'd like to have said that I'd gone before, but I hadn't gone before.
That's fine.
And again, it's just another, there are so many great opportunities and places in our parks that you just have to get out there and find them.
And doing
it with a group like this and hearing what the hikers are saying is really, you know, it's another way for me to hear from a user's perspective.
Well, those people, those are the dedicated few right there. Yeah.
But, you know, I got to tell you, there's people who had never been, this is where I'm hearing it too, that I've never been to this park before.
Wow, yeah.
So again, it goes back to what can we do to entice people to get into our parks so they know that they exist.
Yeah. There's a couple that I haven't been to, but well, it's like everything else. You have your favorites you go back to, so you're trying to get people out of that. So, bottom line, we got about a minute and a half left. So, there's the Metro Park survey you're doing.
The comprehensive master plan,
leading up to the master plan. When will the master plan be done? Sometime next year?
The end of this year.
Oh, okay,
end of 2015, and it will include short and long-term strategies based on what the community has told us, that they feel are priorities.
So, can we get you back on when it's actually released and talk about what you're going
to
actually do?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, cool. So... all right, you didn't actually say that Germantown is your favorite metro park.
I love them all.
You know, actually, the other one that I really, really am super fond of is Possum Creek.
Yes,
because we used to camp out there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, back to the camping. With the little pond back there and everything, and the prairie walk that goes down through the old
Argonne,
the old amusement park that
used
to be down
there.
It's like you're going back in time.
It is.
It's like people don't realize that there was actually an amusement park there.
And, you know, those are the hidden jewels that I hope our community, if they don't know about them, will experience
because
they're just fantastic.
That's cool. We've been in the studio with Becky Benet, the executive director of the Five Rivers Metro Parks in Dayton and in Dayton area in Montgomery County. And we'll get you back in near the end of the year to talk about the master plan.
That sounds great.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Glad you made it. This has been Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host, Ron Rollins. Tune back in next Sunday and we'll have more excitement. And we'll talk about something other than the parks. But thanks. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.